Kathy?
Okay, we're here with the next presentation from a school. I'm here with Linda McDonald. Linda, can you tell us where you're from?
The Liberal Arts and Science Academy at LBJ High School.
And what they're going to do today is they have prepared a series of poems that are inspired by water, and they're going to be reading these poems to us. Okay. Tom?
This is my water poem. It's inspired by the two-faced nature of water. Drip drop. A satisfying pint of crisp, clean, virgin from a bath of ice, never touches the bottom belly, quenching the thirst. Drip drop. Churning the great engine, tearing away layers of ages, exposing treasures of the past, cleansing technologies for the future, an unmarred base for the unclean world. Drip drop, drip drop, drip drop. Monsoon, tsunami, flood, thunderclap, bodies bouncing on a roller coaster ride, concrete crumbling under Noah's plague, dirt disintegration, and a grand splash. It is the pure and the purifier.
My water poem is called Reunion on the Shore. It was inspired by this Abram T. Collier quote. Modern man lives in a highly synthetic kind of existence. He specializes in this and that. Rarely does he test all his powers or find himself whole, but in the hills and on the water, the character of man comes out. Saw Moby the other day, landlocked on the coastline at the Maui Holiday Inn Cantina. He was flopped over in a hammock with a beer hat on. His black blubber pushed through the little mesh-framed holes, and he'd hooked a garden hose to the top of the palm to keep the water pouring over his bottom half. "Hey, Dick," I called. "How's business?" Moby didn't answer at first. Just blinked his eye, and when it flashed, it wasn't demon red like in my washed-over memories, when the terrorism of that half-ton tail fin tested all my powers and made me whole as I sailed on the open sea, testing my character, facing up as men did of another age to the challenge of nature, as I mopped the top deck and tried to forget about dropping soap in the shower. For a few moments, the only sounds were the soft tilting splash of the water and Moby's halted breath, a mushroom cloud eruption from his blowhole, half blocked by a shard of coconut, the only noticeable sign of life. The other half of the coconut lay at my feet. I wanted to throw it at him after such a welcome, but there was something about the heave of his massive chest. "Moby," I said, "what happened to you? The last time I saw you, you flipped your tail up through the hull of my ship. You sent our captain into the ocean when he was in the middle of a shower." Moby suddenly took a deep suck from his straw. "It's somebody else's business now. We've got sheiks and drug lords now," he said, "rigging planes and cruise ships. We've got Ebola in a can. One thing I've learned in this hammock," Moby said, "is nobody wants some fat whale adding to their problems." My favorite Bob Dylan song started wafting through, and for the first time I noticed the crowd at the bar. A man in a Cardinals hat slurred, "Turn off this garbage," to the bartender. "That's a legend you're talking about," I said. Suddenly back on deck, with the salty mist kicked up by a whale among whales' tail blowing in my face. "That's a legend right there in that hammock. Have some respect." I saluted Moby with some form of salt water stinging my eyes, though no one moved toward us, and Moby kept right on sucking.
My water poem is inspired by this quote by Chief Seattle. "All things are connected, like the blood that runs in your family. The water's murmur is the voice of my father's father." This one's called Cold Atlantic. Pelicans wheel overhead, calling Tora, Tora, Tora. They fly low, skimming the sand with their shadows. The beach is littered with seaweed, adorned with desiccated jellyfish, graffitied with the cuneiform scrawlings of turn tracks. Half covered is a piece of glass, the broken end of a bottle, worn by the tide and the weight of water. She turns it in her hand, tumbling the smoothed edges. She slips it into her pocket with the other stones and shells. My mother's hair was striking then, each inky black strand struggling with the wind, grazing against her face, snaking between her fingers. It rests now on her shoulders, subdued, settled, pacified, more gray than black, more waves than curls.
My poem is about a girl and her hands, and about water too, and it begins with a quote from the Quran. "By means of water, we give life to everything." Wet hands sliced by metal strings, sweat flows through her fingers like water. She glides down the neck of her gilded sitar, her palms quietly weeping with the hypnotic refrain. Sweat is the waters of the murky Ganges, that mysterious Indian river. "Will you play a song for me?" Green eyes see me and smile. She wipes her hands on her skirt and places her instrument to the side.
Okay, my poem was inspired by the quote, "When you drink the water, remember spring," and it's a Chinese proverb. We cleared out the house on the night of a spring storm. Tile floors and slanted ceilings stood bare, echoing and reverberating with sound. I thought that you, dressed in gray and black, leaning motionless against the white wall, would appear like a statue or a shadow, but silhouetted by the blue light from the windows flecked with rain, contemplating something beyond me, you seemed ready to wander into the heart of the storm. The stillness of the room was tangible. We could feel it on our skin and taste it in the humid air, heavy and pregnant with potential. Silently, we decided to leave the room with its suffocating stillness and stand out among the lilacs that we had planted, blooded by the rain that was now beating up in my hair and sliding down the valley of my spine, even concealing my stray tears. But you seemed impervious to the drops that pounded on your bare chest like impotent bullets. Your defiant smile, reflected in the mirrors of water clouded by sediment, reminded me, despite the oblivion of cleansing rain, that these lilacs that we planted, blooming white as the flash of your teeth, would wilt as we left, being pushed in different directions by our own internal storms, separated mercifully by a river of forgetfulness, but someday seeking, through a compelling centripetal force, this place where we first planted our lilacs.
I just think that these are phenomenal, and I am in awe of what you guys have created, and I think that the viewing audience is too. So with that, we'll go over to Ron and his guest.